So we're continuing our conversation with the candidates here on AM Quincy. Next up, we want to introduce you to candidate for Ward 6 City Council, Christopher Chan, who stopped on by to tell us his story. Nice to meet you, Christopher.
Nice to meet you, Joe.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity to learn about you and your candidacy and what you'd like folks in Ward 6 to know about you. So
great.
Why don't we start there? Who's Christopher Chan? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I mean, we can take the long story, the short story. Currently, right now, I'm an IT analyst who works in Newton.
Okay.
But I live in North Quincy right now. I used to live here in, I used to live in Germantown, then Wollaston, then North Quincy. I moved out when I was an adult, and I spent most of my adult life in Boston.
Mm.
And then I moved back recently, having been dating my now wife for a number of years. And yeah, we're living together and just trying to start a family, start a new life together.
Sure. So where did you go to school, Christopher? Where did you learn your trade?
Yeah, okay. So I went to, for high school, I went to Boston Latin School.
Okay.
And then I went to LaSalle University, which is in Philadelphia, for undergrad. And then pretty much I was just trying to look for a job ever since I got up. So I worked for the Census Bureau as my first job.
Oh.
Worked for the decennial. I worked in the office as a clerk. I was a field rep for a number of years doing consumer surveys, collecting employment information, things like that. Worked a contract job a couple times. And then probably around the 2017, 2018 mark, I started to pivot. And then I worked at Amazon for a number of years. Yeah, worked at Amazon for a number of years. And then after the pandemic hit, decided, okay, because we're still doing the work from home.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed more of just speaking with people and interacting. It's just very isolationist. It's very hard to, you know, keep yourself stable that way.
Sure.
So I looked for a job and decided to pivot. I went into IT, and so I worked at Emerson College for about 2 years.
Oh, okay.
And then I now work at the current place, which is in Newton, and I still do the same type of stuff. It's more technical, but it's a lot of responding to people's requests, you know, help desk tickets. We're helping people with computers and policy and just day-to-day stuff.
I see, yeah. And how long have you been living in Quincy now?
I've been living in Quincy for a number of months, probably 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
But I've been dating my now wife, and we've been, you know, back and forth here for,
sure,
for about 3 years.
Yeah.
So there's that, and I also have family ties here as well.
Okay,
and,
all right.
You know, I visit my family occasionally.
So obviously your first run at elective office now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
So why did you decide to do that?
I decided to run because I had always been interested in trying to serve in government. Ever since I was a kid, I thought I was going to try to run for president of the United States.
Okay.
Or try to at least represent the Asian American population, just because I identify with that.
I see.
But as the years have gone by and priorities have changed, I thought, okay, it's probably better for me to have more of a broad appeal to everybody. And it's really just more about serving the people, serving the community, really just creating those connections. So on the heels of, say, the presidential 2024 election, and my life just recently changing with getting married and whatnot.
Mm.
So I don't just want to do something new, and then also, you know, want to make an impact in the community. And so, you know, my wife's family lives here. Part of my family lives here too. There was a meeting by Adjust Quincy, which happened around January. They were looking to spur on first-time candidates. I said, okay, yeah, let's see what I can do here. And so I was really encouraged by them in order to just step up. And I'd also had been a part of a program called the Commonwealth Seminar, and they introduce people to government, learning about the legislative policy. A lot of speakers come out, and we even tour the State House.
Okay.
And yeah, it just kept me interested in working with government. So after all that, I said, okay, this is probably the time for me to do this. And yeah, I saw that, how can I help the community? I've been to city council meetings, did some research, and decided, yeah, I'm gonna run.
Okay, yeah. And how's it been going so far? How's the campaign going for you?
It's been pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, we're having a lot of good conversation with people.
Okay.
We're learning more about the neighborhood, learning more about the nitty gritty about the city budget and initiatives that the city wants to plan, and really hearing the concerns of people. And I like hearing the stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what, Ward 6 particular, what are folks telling you that they're concerned about?
Ward 6, people are telling me about not being fairly represented in Ward 6, that the representation is disproportionately in a few areas. On top of that as well, it's that the incumbent right now, Bill Harris, has been unresponsive in terms of just getting back to people. and just the lack of open communication and regular updates. I remember when I went to the city council website for the first time, there's a section, it said something about what's going on in your neighborhood, and the link that I clicked, it goes to a YouTube video that was in 2018. It was talking about the big why. The big why is not there anymore. And the issue there isn't relevant. I wish more of the things were updated and a little more accessible to people.
Okay, so as a ward counselor, how would you improve that? How would you change that? How would you stay in touch with their constituents and keep them informed?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I've currently right now, while doing the campaign, I've been letting people know that I'm accessible everywhere, basically. Got an email out there, got phone number, website, Facebook, Discord, Reddit. If you say something on social media, you'll probably find me there.
You're an IT guy, right?
Yeah.
So you're connected.
Yeah, but I just like having the channels of open communication available.
Okay.
Because if you just place stuff on, say, the city website, right, not everyone's going to the city website. And everyone else uses different communication channels, so we should try to make the effort in order to reach out to people.
Okay. What about in-person meetings, Chris? Do you think those are important as well?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you don't necessarily get to feel out people just by talking to them online.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of see how people tick, but it's just nice to have that one-on-one interaction, that personal touch. I would be up for meeting with people office hours, whether it's, let's say, the public library
mm-hmm.
or an office,
okay.
or even at their homes if needed. Really just open and willing to reach out to others.
Okay.
I'd also be willing to have things like open city hall, town forums, things like that,
gotcha.
And allow people to come in and voice their concerns and really feel like they have a space in order to
okay.
talk.
All right. Are there any particular, you know, Ward 6 projects that are going on that people are concerned about or quality of life issues? Obviously, I'm thinking things like the Long Island Bridge is probably the biggest one, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. Are folks still talking about that?
I would say very much
so.
Yeah. There are a number of issues that people are talking about. I would say traffic is one,
okay.
heading towards the Ponds Bridge.
Sure.
Swanham School being
sure.
built.
Yeah.
I took a look at that. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have the renovations happen. I like the part where they're saying they're trying to make net zero energy.
That's the plan.
Very sustainable. And in terms of the Long Island Bridge, I myself have a different stance than the other candidates that are out there.
Okay.
I feel that it should be that we rebuild the bridge. And
we, the city, rebuild the bridge?
The Ward 6, right?
Okay.
Right, Ward 6. Ward 6 rebuild the bridge for a number of reasons. Right? There's a 2023 navigational impact study by the city of Boston, and they looked at the alternatives that they could have for doing the bridge, whether it means using ferry service or using the old structures, and they decided after all that, they list in that report what the best alternative should be. And they came upon the conclusion that building a bridge would make sense.
Okay.
In order to service the people who need to work there, the staff, the people who need treatment, the number of people who need to go in and out of there as well. It would help as well in order to not use so many resources in order to keep fighting this fight, as well as that, being able to collaborate with Boston and have a better use of resources. And then finally, also to help society as a whole in order to help the folks who need help with substance abuse, homelessness,
mm-hmm.
and other forms of mental health issues.
Okay. What about the concerns about how it would impact traffic through North Quincy and Squantum?
Yeah, I am aware of that.
Sure.
The traffic issue is going to be a thing that will need to be taken a look at. It's kind of tough already because Squantum is just kind of one way in, one way
sure.
out. So that might need to be addressed as well.
Mm.
But for the most part, I think the traffic itself, although it is important, I think that we should weigh it more towards the greater benefit for our
okay.
community.
So, and again, just to be clear, you want the city of Boston to rebuild the bridge, not the city of Quincy, right?
Right, right.
Okay,
right.
Yeah.
just
to make sure that's clear.
My apologies,
yeah.
yes.
No,
the bridge to be rebuilt is what
okay.
I'm going for.
Got you. Okay. Anything else? In terms of development?
Yeah, we do have a development issue, I would say. There's a lot of overdevelopment that has been happening. The need for affordable housing and housing in general
mm.
in Quincy has been an issue. And I've seen a couple of the candidates speak upon this. Rezoning is a good method in order to deal with it. There is the concern for additional traffic, and there is the concern that perhaps we as a city are
mm-hmm.
not going to be getting such a great deal in response to letting additional developers come in, and we just want to make sure that we do what's right for Quincy.
Yeah, the question of should developers get tax breaks came up during the last council session. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I realize that there has to be some sort of incentive in order to bring people in. I'm not sure if necessarily Quincy has the leverage to do so just because of the debt position that it is in right now. But in order to work on solving that, mm-hmm. right, we're going to need to increase the revenue somewhere. Mm-hmm. It can't just be that you tax the current residents or the current business there. We're going to need to draw outside money in order to do so. And even with the tax breaks, my stance would be that we should try to limit the amount of tax breaks available for developers, if any, and then just try to make sure that we're giving fair representation for the residents who are also going to be living in these places. Make sure that it's affordable for them, mm-hmm. and make sure that we can hit full occupancy if possible.
Okay, all right. So it's a balancing act, it sounds like.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned affordability for the city. So do you think Quincy is affordable right now?
No, okay. It is not. Yeah, I'll just go into some of
the
notes.
Yeah, sure, please use your notes, absolutely.
Absolutely,
yeah,
okay.
Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so in terms of fixing the affordable housing problem, that is lowering the burden for tenants to find units, because mm-hmm. they have to go to a lot of different places, go to different websites, different organizations in order to find funding, apply for the lottery, for example, in order to draw a housing position.
Yeah.
We should increase the amount of housing as well, because if it's not available for people, right, the prices of the other houses in the neighborhood are just going to go up.
Supply and demand, right?
Right, of course. There was a video from, I believe it was just about a month ago, where you had spoke with the Affordable Housing Trust.
Yes.
And they had mentioned that we should, at least this is my opinion, that we should increase the compliance with the affordable housing requirement. So there's the part they mentioned where it said, okay, if 1.5% of the land is used for housing, that's good. But I think we should go further than that.
Okay.
And we should try to adhere to the 10% or better.
Okay.
Even in the interview, he mentioned, oh, hey, we're doing better than 1.5%, but we're still below that 10%,
yes.
And having those number of units would help in order to alleviate the
housing. Okay, all right. Yeah, just to be clear, so right now developers have the option of either meeting that threshold or paying into the Affordable Housing Trust Fund.
Of course.
Many of them choose the latter, mm-hmm. To pay into the trust fund, mm-hmm. rather than create affordable units within their developments right now. They have to meet a certain threshold.
Yeah. Of course, yes.
So you think that should be higher?
I think it should be higher.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want it to be where developers keep paying the fee in lieu of that,
right.
Because you're just going to kick the can down the road.
Okay.
You're going to exacerbate the problem even further.
Okay. I've also been asking candidates, Chris, about how they feel about a possibility of a residential property tax exemption. Have you thought about that? Do you have feelings about that?
Yeah. In terms of the residential tax exemption, yeah, the exemptions and the abatements, they are good on a individual basis, but it is going to put pressure on the tax rate, mm-hmm. for the citizens, because if you're lowering it down, the money's going to come from somewhere.
Right.
And if you're trying to meet your financial obligations, then you're going to have to collect more money overall from people or just put people at a higher tax rate. So again, I'm trying to emphasize that we do need to collect outside revenue. And as well as this, we should be looking to shift the tax burden from the residents to other parts of the revenue, whether it means commercial, industrial, or personal property.
Mm-hmm.
For comparison, in Boston, the percentage is around 44 for the residents, and in here, in Quincy, it's around 75.
Mm, okay.
So City of Quincy is pretty overly weighted towards collecting residential tax,
okay.
And I'd like to shift it more towards
businesses. All right. You mentioned the city's debt. Last report, it was like $1.5 billion.
Right.
So, are you concerned about that? Do you have thoughts about how to address that as a city councilor?
Yeah, I do have thoughts about that. The budget itself is. I don't want to try to look at my notes here for that.
It's okay if you want.
Oh yeah, I know. I know. I want to keep the flow going.
Sure, I appreciate it.
Yeah. So yeah, the city itself has its debt obligations to fulfill, and again, the money has to come from somewhere. I did look at the budget, and I saw that at least at this current moment, mm-hmm. that one of the things that took a hit on the budget were the pensions.
Mm-hmm.
So about $4 million or so had disappeared, or not disappeared, but it got reallocated somewhere else, and. Yeah, that is of concern to people, right?
Okay.
We're still trying to have a good quality of life for the citizens here,
right.
But we still want to be able to fulfill our obligations. I know that the credit rating for the city has gone down. That's going to make it harder for us to borrow at favorable rates. And then people are going to want more incentive in order to want to invest. So we need to rework the image for the city of Quincy in order to gain the trust of people, mm-hmm. in order to also give us more favorable economic conditions in the future.
Okay. To that end, the trust issue, I know that transparency is one of your kind of talking points throughout your campaign,
yeah.
right? What do you mean by that?
So for me, transparency, it starts with myself, mm-hmm. right? It's talking about what I'm going through, what I can share with people up to a certain extent, and just keeping them in the loop of what's going on. In terms of, let's say, the city budget, right? There are line items there, and it's about 350 pages of stuff. Not all of it is explained, and to the average citizen, you look at it, and you're just gonna kind of glaze over it.
Mm-hmm.
I would like those items to be expanded upon, to give a little more clarity as to how the budget is actually being allocated, and then just have somebody just make it easier for people to make it easier for people to understand.
Okay, all right. Do you think that your background in IT would give you some expertise on how to address that?
Not necessarily my background in IT, but the way that I do my work. So it's more of just breaking things down mm-hmm. into simple pieces and just making sure that if you know what you're talking about, that you're able to communicate it and make sure people are on the same page in terms of understanding. So that way we're not just left in the dark and just try to do things right off the cuff,
mm-hmm.
right? We have a plan and we're gonna stick to it, but we need to make sure that we see the steps and go forward.
Okay, it sounds like you've looked into how municipal government works in terms of the rules and the things of that nature.
Yep.
So you've kind of trained for this role, it sounds like.
Not necessarily, this is still stuff in the background,
okay.
right? But I'm learning day by day.
Yeah.
And when people bring up new issues, when candidates talk about things that are important to them,
yes.
look into those things and really want to at least be able to engage with people.
Okay, so how would you describe your kind of problem-solving technique?
Sure. So we want to make sure that we understand what the problem is first. Then we look at our resources. We also assess what knowledge we have beforehand. And then, not necessarily trial and error, but making sure that we understand what we're working on. And then also keeping people in the loop,
mm-hmm.
making sure that they know what I'm doing to address the issue, and then that way there's also kind of a chain of custody where they can see, oh, this is what I did, and did it go right, did it go wrong? If it did go right, sure, we'll mark it down. If it did go wrong, well then, we have that on record. We move on to the next proposed solution.
Okay. Do you want to talk about some citywide issues that have come up, namely the salary issue,
mm-hmm.
And then the statue issue, if you
sure.
will. Sure.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about them in order. So let's say the raises right now.
Okay.
So I am actually, I am not for the raises. I understand that it's hard to live in Quincy because it is expensive. And I realize too that the position that I'd be running for, it pays around what, $44,000, something like that?
As it currently stands, yeah.
Yeah, so it would be tough alone to just run as a city councilor, right? You'd also have to have some sort of additional income. HUD itself, I remember, again, in the Affordable Housing Trust, they're saying mm-hmm. the median income for Quincy is around $92,000.
That's right, yeah.
And apparently, if you go below that, you'd actually qualify
yes.
for housing assistance. So it feels kind of weird to say that, okay, hey, I'd be a city councilor, but also I would need affordable housing.
I see.
Yeah, so it doesn't seem consistent to me. I myself am not running for the money by any particular means, having stated what I know about the salary.
Okay.
For me, it's really more just about serving the people, and I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the process that went through for the raises to take place, you know, in terms of transparency?
Mm-hmm.
Was it transparent enough? There was a consulting company that was brought in from outside the city to make recommendations, and then the votes were taken based on those.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a good process, do you think?
I think the city council and the city did their part in order to come up with the best equitable solution for them. I would like to have seen more insight public input
okay.
on the matter. Consistently, city council has been doing a lot of things where they're just telling people of them, but the public doesn't really find out until much later, and that's a bad look to have.
Okay. Statues, you want to talk about those as well?
Yeah, statues.
Sure.
that's a big issue.
Really? Are people saying that to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm checking out on social, asking people about what they feel. It's a lot of money for something that has offended a lot of folks. And it's not great that the ACLU had to step in order to kind of litigate this and represent on people's behalf. We can be using the money for additional things. Other people have also saying we could have gone with a more modest way in order to celebrate the police officers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're against those?
I am against the statues, yes.
Okay, all right. So going forward, Chris, what is your campaign strategy?
I'll check my notes for this.
Okay, check your notes for that. Yes, we need a written strategy.
Yeah.
So you are very detailed. I will tell folks you've got things broken down here by category and by topic, and you've obviously done a lot of research.
Yeah.
Is that typical of how you approach things?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And it also it makes sense in order to look into the things, particularly mm-hmm. because I haven't really been around here so much.
Right.
But I would say that's kind of my advantage, because that means I have to work a little more harder in order to catch up to speed. Not to say that that's an excuse or anything, but more the fact that, yeah, we should all be looking to look into the issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so going forward, what is the game plan?
Yeah.
The game plan is to door knock, leverage public forums that are going to be upcoming,
okay.
Make myself available on social media, make more posts on social media to get more engagement with people. I have a meet and greet on Saturday, August 16th, 3 p.m. at our place at 45 Albion Road. And then I will also be at the Quarry August Moon Festival on Sunday, August 17th at 11 a.m. I'll have a table. I'm sharing it with a couple other folks, but come by, please say hi.
Okay.
And we'll just chat.
Okay, very good. Anything else you'd like to share with folks right now?
Let's
you mentioned you have a website, phone number. If you'd like to give those out, feel free.
Yeah, yep. Okay, sure. Yeah, my website is christopherchan.org. Phone number, if you want to reach me, it is my personal cell phone, so just be aware.
It's up to you.
I'm okay with that.
All right.
617-763-4178. I'll try to reach you as soon as I can. If not, please leave a message. Please be as detailed as possible so that I can help you.
Okay. All right, very good. Anything else right now?
It's hot. It is so hot outside. I don't know how people are door knocking. It's crazy.
Is this something you would do again if not successful this time?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. I mean, I would like to kind of gauge how the results are.
Okay.
And then see how receptive people are to the ideas, and yeah, just hear more about the feedback, and then decide whether or not to pursue.
Do you plan on getting involved with any kind of volunteer organizations or civic groups in the city?
Yeah, I get the information from Adjust Quincy.
Yes.
Okay. I do talk with people from Quincy Votes, and I would like to get involved with Quincy Cycles.
Oh, Quincy Cycles.
Yeah, Quincy Cycles.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to be a big bicyclist in Boston,
uh-huh.
and I wish we had more of that infrastructure here, bike lanes, and just more accessibility for people instead of having to drive around Quincy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Right.
Well, appreciate the opportunity to meet you and talk with you.
Thanks, Joe.
And we'll see you on the campaign trail.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano, and we'll see you next time.